what's happening in your hometown? Let us know. Call the KGLO Live Line on the Tim Fleming Show at 494-2500. We're your hometown news station, AM 1300 KGLO.
And right now on the Live Line at KGLO, I do have Brian Hanif with us from the Cerro Gordo County Department of Public Health. And every Tuesday morning at 7:30, we get a chance to visit with Brian. Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy to be back again.
Yeah, another great week, to visit and talk. And, you know, as this whole process goes with vaccines and vaccinations and getting shots in arms, all that kind of stuff that people talk about, there are always questions and little things that come up that people want to know more about. And a tip of the hat to you guys for trying to get the information out there, too.
Yeah, we try to do our best, just, being consistent, making sure that we're available and try to answer those questions as they come up.
Talk a little bit about this week then, Brian, about, you know, sign up and what can be expected. What do we have going on as far as the vaccination center is what I've been calling it lately down at the old Sears store in Mason City?
Yeah, so our vaccination sign-up will likely be later in the week. We try to put a notification out through our social media and our website as to when those availabilities will be put out there. A couple weeks ago, we had been trying to do the Code Red, and we weren't getting a lot of phone calls on the day that we would open up the lines, and so we had volunteers here sitting waiting to take people's names and schedule them, before the hour would be up, the first hour, people would stop calling in. So we don't know if people just got burned out and gave up with trying to call in. So we thought we would kind of shift and change how we did things and basically just put them out on our website for now, or people can call in to our regular phone number and try to get scheduled when those slots become available. And it's working out. We put some out last Friday, and those slots filled up rather quickly, within an hour, I would say. And so clearly there's still a demand out there. And, this week we're only doing 800 doses of vaccine. It's all that we received from the state, which is down. We were at about 2,000 doses because we got both Moderna and Pfizer, and this week we did not get any Pfizer. So, it's kind of that ebb and flow, Tim. We will get a bunch, and then we get just a few, and we get a bunch, and then we get just a few. And so it's anticipated we'll likely just get the Moderna here next week as well, so we would only have 800 doses. And I might add, we are sharing those doses with our Mercy One partner. They're helping us with administration of both the primary dose and some boost doses.
Yeah, and that's the other thing we were just talking before going on the air. There's that that boost dose too that is really coming into play now over the last couple of weeks for you. It's hard to believe, but we're at that far in now, and you've had that second go around with a lot of people.
Yeah, we've got a lot of boost doses going out this month. The month of March, we knew it was going to be heavy because we got a lot of doses into the arms of people who were working in the schools and also in our child care centers. So the month of March is spending quite a bit of time on Saturdays trying to get those people back through to get their second dose. And, again, we don't want to impact our child care centers that are open during the week or our schools, for that matter. So we're making ourselves available. Our volunteers are certainly stepping up. We're very thankful for them. And they're helping us get that dose out to those people over on a Saturday.
Now, you were working through several businesses, too, weren't you, Brian?
Yeah, that's correct. So as we work through our tiers, which is the Phase 1B, we do have businesses that we need to work through, which would include our food, agriculture, distribution, and manufacturing workers. So we're trying to get those businesses lined up and come through at least for their primary dose as well. And those businesses, we also try to kind of tailor what their needs might be to get people in. So we're still working with businesses. We're not done with that group yet. But hopefully we will be in the next couple of weeks.
I know I got a phone call today earlier from one of our listeners, and she said, would you ask about taking pain medication? And, for example, if somebody gets a shot in the arm, should they take a Tylenol or an Advil or something beforehand, or should they wait till afterwards to do that, or how do you suggest that?
That is a good question, and the answer to that is generally people should not take a Tylenol or an Advil prior to receiving their vaccine. There is the question of whether or not it may impact the efficacy and the ability of the drug to kind of take hold. So we recommend people wait, get your vaccine, wait maybe until closer to the evening hours before you go to bed. You might take some Tylenol or some Advil, something a little bit later, but not before. So that's the recommendation as it stands right now.
Yeah, there are a lot of those little kind of questions that do pop up, but they're important questions, and I know you get a lot of those, don't you?
Yeah, we're getting quite a few calls, you know, throughout the day. Yesterday I spent time on the phone answering calls from people. You know, a lot of times they want to either confirm an appointment or maybe they have a question about needing to shift a time and, you know, trying to get through to just say, hey, I want to make sure that my appointment is there, especially for boost dose. Yeah, we know that there are a lot of questions that pop up, and quite honestly, quite a bit of time is spent with our staff in the office trying to answer those questions.
What were your thoughts this last week when we had a chance to hear the president talk about the future with all of the vaccines and so forth that are coming? What was your reaction there?
I have a little speculation because it's great to think that we might be able to put a vaccine in the arms of every adult American by, what did he say, mid-May, end of May, something like that. But it seems like a lot of work would need to be done in order to make that happen. And so knowing that, you know, there might be 30, 40, 50% of the American population, adult population, who may not want that vaccine. So with that in mind, you know, it may be doable, but it still seems like it's kind of a stretch just simply because we see these ebbs and flows where we'll get, you know, 800 doses one week and then we're at 2,000 the next. And so, I mean, I hope it happens and I hope I'm wrong. At some point, we would like to think that this this effort that we've been putting forth, we as a community, as a state, as a country, to provide vaccinations would come to some kind of slowdown and start to wrap up so that we can make plans to kind of get back to public health businesses, that business that has been put kind of on the shelf, and we need to get back to doing some of our bread and butter programming. So that is a hope, and I would like to think that availabilities will continue to go up.
You're talking about percentages and so forth there. What are the percentages like right now in our area?
Yeah, I know that I heard the other day that, you know, the state of Iowa, people 65 and over are at that. I think it's over 60% of that population's been vaccinated. I don't have the specific numbers here based on ages of vaccinations, but, you know, I think we've got quite a ways to go yet, Tim, to really have a larger impact on the numbers that we really truly need, especially as we focus on herd immunity. So, I can check on those numbers and see where we're at for next week.
How about for those people that you mentioned that are just not going to get a shot? What do you say to those folks that say, "Hey, listen, I don't need to get a shot"?
Yeah, I noticed a brief message this morning from Tom Frieden, who was a previous Center for Disease Control and Prevention director, and he was meeting with some people on one of the platforms, and he was talking to these people about the importance of getting the vaccine and basically trying to recognize that there's a large group out there that we need to try to provide good data, good information, so that the decision can be appropriately made. I would argue that the science is clearly there. It's been tested, and there's been millions and millions of people who've received these vaccines already with really very limited impacts physically that it makes sense to get this vaccine. I mean, the alternative is, you know, a person could be in the intensive care unit with a tube down their throat or worse. I mean, obviously, 500,000 people have died from this illness, and so, you know, to prevent that type of impact from the illness, people can still get sick, of course, but it just makes good sense. I mean, it's just good science, and it's something that, you know, I stressed to my own mother that she should get, and she did. And so it's, I think it's important. I think it's not just important for those people who choose not to get it, but I think it's also important for those people who they are around to also to get it. So I hope that, you know, the numbers of people who maybe are on the fence choose to get that vaccine and recognize that, you know, the politics of this back, you know, a few months ago is kind of tapered off, and we need people to really get on board with getting that vaccine as it becomes available to them.
Do you anticipate an uptick after spring break? Is that something that's in the back of your mind too?
Yeah, we have been we've been looking at the numbers. I mean, we're still at a 4.1 14-day rolling average. 4.1, if I said, 4.1. And so the numbers are still very low, so that's great, but we are worried that once we see these travelers, as the Transportation Safety Administration came out and said, 1.3 million people traveled last Friday. And so we know that a lot of people are traveling for spring break, and it's likely that over the course of that travel during the month of March, that we'll likely see a significant or some kind of increase in the number of positive cases. So it's still out there. People still need to wear their masks. People still need to follow kind of the protocol for staying home if they're sick, wash their hands, all those good things, Tim. And hopefully, again, we don't see this positivity rate go up. I'm hoping it stays, you know, under 8 to 10%.
Let's keep it down, right, Brian?
It's the name of the game. So far, we're doing pretty well since last November. It's been a constant decline, and now we're just sitting right at that 4% rate, which is really good. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, Tim.
How about, before I let you go, just maybe mention the phone numbers or a website where people can get information about the vaccinations?
Yeah, certainly. People can check out our Facebook page. They just type in the search bar, CG Health, and they'll get it. They can certainly check out our website at cghealth.com. If people do have questions, they can give us a call. 421-9300 is our direct line. And, you know, for the most part, we would like for people to check out our website first and try to query that information that they might be looking for. Otherwise, we get inundated with a lot of phone calls throughout the day. But, again, we do our best to try to get to those people and answer those questions.
Brian, anything else you want to touch on before I let you go?
Always appreciate you. Appreciate the public and their patience as we continue to push this vaccine out. And, you know, we'll keep doing what we need to do in order to get this taken care of. The last thing I will mention is, of course, if as people try to get their time slot for receiving the vaccine, by all means, check out Mercy One's website and get on their list. People can also certainly check out the local pharmacies. The Hy-Vee drug is receiving vaccines, I think, on a weekly basis. I know that there's allocations that are given to Hy-Vees, and then, you know, check with your local pharmacies as well. Hopefully that will help people find that vaccine. They can also check with the state of Iowa. There's a 211 phone number that if people are looking for getting scheduled, there's some assistance at the state level as well. So just wanted to pitch that, and again, thanks again as always.
Great to talk to you. Brian, have a great week. We'll talk to you again real soon.
You too. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Hanoff with us from the CG Health Office, Cerro Gordo County Department of Public Health, on AM 1300, KGLO and KGLOAM.com.